Well, the deal reached at the UN Climate Change Conference in Poland is being criticised for not being ambitious enough. Let's talk now to Simon Bridges, who, of course, is the leader of the National Party, the leader of the opposition, in our final interview with him for the year. Tēnā koe, good morning.
Kia ora, Guy.
We'll start with climate change. Then I want to talk about the new drug policy adopted by the government, and then we'll end the interview with some of your reflections on the year, given it's the last time we'll talk to you this year.
Great.
Let's start with climate change and what's happened or hasn't happened in Poland. It basically keeps the Paris Agreement on track.
I think that's right. It sets the rule book, the more detailed rules about what happens as a result of Paris. I was there at Paris. I mean, that is progress. I think what I would say is it follows the trajectory you always see at these conferences of the parties, which is, you know, manufactured crisis over the same old issues between developed and developing countries, economic versus environmental. In the end, though, they pull something together that's never as bad or as good, I suppose, as anyone is hoping for. I disagree with James Shaw in as much as I don't think it's a breakthrough. I don't think we've ever seen a quote breakthrough at these things. They're just incremental progress that's good, but arguably it's not enough. I think to have a breakthrough, what we'd need to see today is the United States seriously signing up to the Paris Agreement, because I think that's what's required to then ensure that the Chinas, the Brazils, the Russias of this world also play ball.
When you look at what the New Zealand government's doing, though, in banning oil and gas exploration or new permits for exploration there, doesn't this make it look like they're on the right track with that the fossil fuels are a thing of the past and we have to wean ourselves off them?
Well, what is certainly true is what will matter now is not a rule book, it's the rule book being applied on the ground, right? My point would be in relation to New Zealand overall, we need to act proportionately to the rest of the world. No good us doing everything and no one else doing anything that will still mean the world gets warmer and climate change.
So we just
have
to do the bare minimum.
No, not the bare minimum. I think, you know, if you want to take oil and gas on its merits, it's a situation where the advice to the government itself from MB, from Ministry of Environment for that matter, is that emissions will go up as a result of that decision. I think what they should have done there is thrown that to a climate commission to provide a more nuanced, reasoned program of action.
So let's get this clear. You will bring back oil and gas exploration should you lead the next government?
Yes.
Immediately?
Yes, but what we will also do is make sure that there is an enduring climate framework with a climate commission. And as I say...
You're going to have your commission and you've got your fine words, but you'd be looking for and burning fossil fuels.
No, these things are much more nuanced than that, Guy. The truth of New Zealand's energy position is gas will play an important role for some time to come. If we're not using gas, as we're going to see from this disastrous decision by the government, we will be importing more coal from Indonesia. So, you know, it is worth thinking these things through. In the interim, though, look, I think exploration, particularly for gas, is important.
How worried are you about climate change? I mean, you've got a young family, you think about their futures. How worried about it are you?
It's a concern. I mean, I think it's something we need to deal with. But I think what is also important, where I differ from James Shaw, Jacinda Ardern, the government, I don't see it as an existential issue where we need to, in James Shaw's words, bend the arc on climate change in the next 3 or 4 years. I see it as a much more layered, long-term commitment.
Well, how long have we got?
Well, I think, you know, we've got some time to work it through. What I want to see happen between the government and the opposition is an enduring framework, an independent climate commission that advises the government.
And you're supporting us.
Okay. We'll see where we get to, but I'm hopeful on that.
All right. Let's move to drugs, because some interesting moves last week by the government.
Yeah.
They are reclassifying a couple of those strains of the synthetic cannabis, making those Class A.
Mm.
But I think the one that may provide more social change, if you like, is this idea that if you are caught with a small amount of drugs that were obviously for personal consumption, the police would have discretion not to prosecute. Now, this would mean, in effect, if you had cocaine or ecstasy or LSD in your bag or meth, and it was in your bag and it looked like it was for your own use, the police could say, we're not going to prosecute you. Do you agree with that approach?
I think there's three core components. So very briefly, look, clamp down on the dealers, the suppliers. I think we all agree with that now, and that's good. I think there's a very significant rehabilitation piece. I don't think it's enough has been done in that area. This government's putting in $16 million. That's not enough. We need to do more in that area. Then we come to your point, and that's decriminalisation. Look, I'm critical of what the government's doing. I have called it decriminalisation by stealth. I think if you look at the last week, medicinal cannabis, they've gone loose leaf. That's not medicinal cannabis. That is decriminalisation by the back door. And then you add to that what you're talking about, which is this injunction to the police effectively to look for all the other options before they get to any sort of prosecution. Well, people can have a view on that. Yeah. But surely if you take that view on drugs, we should have a debate. We should have a discussion. We should have a referendum. Actually, it seems to me what we've got right now is a situation where we've loosely, because it hasn't been thought out, it's been pretty Mickey Mouse, we're getting there right now. What's the point of a referendum in a couple of years' time if we're already going to have a situation where if you've got DAC, no, heck, not even DAC, you've got a methamphetamine on the streets, the police know that the government's position is don't prosecute.
Yeah, but if you've got a couple of pills of ecstasy in your bag after a party or whatever, should you get thrown in jail for that?
Well, that's for the police, but the point is, Guy, and that has always been the case.
So they already had discretion.
They have discretion. But what you've got now is a situation with a so-called medicinal cannabis bill that is actually de facto decriminalisation, from instructions to the police to effectively say, let's go there without the proper debate, without thinking through. I don't think the government has at any level thought through what this means for the police, the health services and wider society.
How would you vote on the cannabis referendum?
Personally, I'll vote against it, I'm pretty sure.
You want to keep it?
Referendum. I may well vote for a referendum, but as a personal voter, I may well vote, I probably will vote against. And I'll tell you
Let's be clear, I'm getting confused about what you're going to do. You want to keep cannabis illegal? Is that right?
So there's two points though, right? There's a referendum on that issue. I can accept the need for a referendum. Yep. I think a debate on that is right. That's a different point though. You're asking me then personally, what will I do on it? I worry about the harm. I've seen the debilitating effects in all manner of communities.
So you want to keep cannabis illegal?
I worry about the mental health. And I think the messaging of saying, look, just decriminalisation, no issue in terms of harm, will mean harm rises.
So keep it illegal.
That's my position.
Just finally, you're at the end of this year. It's been a pretty tough year for you in many ways. How do you see the year wrapping up for National?
I think very strong. I think we've set the agenda in politics this year on the big issues of business confidence, tax, cost of living, Shoebreck, law and order, these
Jamie
things.
Ross.
Look, there's no doubt. Absolutely. You know, no one's going to argue that was a high point, Guy, on. But I think what is important sometimes is how you deal with these things. We got back on the horse straight away onto the issues that matter. The very week that we expelled Jamie Ross from the caucus, I forced her back down in Parliament by the Prime Minister on regional fuel taxes. The week after that, we were discussing something of high public interest and pushing the Shoebreck matter where there's much more to come. So I think we finished the year with a very strong platform for next year. My goal is that next year we'll be able to start outlining some of our positive plans for the 2020s, which will show a contrast with the government.
All right, I won't be in the spot next year this time. Will you?
Yes, I will. And look, can I just say I wish you all the very best with your new endeavours.
Thanks very much. I wish you well for Christmas. Thank you for your time this morning and for fronting up on a weekly basis. We do appreciate that. That's Simon Bridges, who is, of course, the leader of the National Party.